so good at saying things like protect your peace, guard your energy, you know, set boundaries, prioritize your growth. And these are not bad statements, but many of us can say these things and we don't do them. But Jesus didn't say, people will know you're my disciples because of how much you love yourself. He said, by this everyone will know you are my disciples, if you love one another. Not think about loving one another, but actually loving one another.
I stuffed my mic in my pocket. Sorry, guys. One sec. Come on in. There are no seats, but you're going to have to stand. I'm sorry. Okay, so we're going to do an activity, okay? Any volunteers? I need one volunteer. Doesn't mind putting things on. All right. What's your name?
My name is Derek.
Thank you, Derek. Are you having a good time today?
Yeah.
Do you have any friends here?
I got a couple there.
Okay, hey guys, hey friends. Okay, so what we're gonna do is, Darren is going on a coffee date.
Derek,
do you like coffee? What do you like to drink?
Like
tea. Okay, he's gonna go for tea with a friend, and so Derek needs to get ready. But instead of getting dressed with clothes, the clothes that he puts on is gonna indicate armor, okay? So Derek was betrayed by a friend, so he put on a hat. He was misunderstood by his family, so he put on his scarf. He applied to a few schools a few years ago, and he didn't get into any of them. So he put on rejection. It looks good. He was criticized a lot. Sometimes that criticism came from internal, his insides. So he put on some sunglasses. He felt overwhelmed. Overwhelmed with expectations. Overwhelmed with people's opinions. So he put on some headphones. You look really good.
Thank you.
And so how easy would it be for Derek to meet his friend for tea indoors right now? How easy would it be for him to connect with his friend? It'd be kind of hard, right? Thank you, Derek. So you can slowly take it off. So yeah, sometimes we need headphones when we go to the gym. We want to block out people's speaking. Sometimes we put a hat on because we're cold. Put on a scarf to protect our face from the wind. We put on our jacket to bring our outfit together. But sometimes that armor, the clothes that we needed at some point along the way, is no longer necessary. And that very armor that was necessary at some point in your life can block your ability to connect with other people and can block your ability to be the hands and feet of Jesus. So we are going to do an activity. As we see on the wall, we have six different words. Sorry, guys. We have controller, performer, hyper-independent, people-pleasing, avoider, and fixer. These words represent protective strategies, not personality types, although a lot of people like to say that they're people-pleasers, but they're protective strategies. They're the defense mechanisms. They're a way that we have naturally used, or we naturally lean into, particularly based on like our personality, to protect ourselves. Now, I could have filled this whole room with more words, you know, like perfectionist, you know, defender, so many other terms, but I wanted to focus on really popular defense mechanisms that many of us can relate to. So I'm going to go through each one, and then we will break out into like an interactive activity. So the first one I wanted to talk about is people-pleasing. How many people here feel like they struggle with people-pleasing? You can just raise your hand. Notice there's a lot of women. I see a few men. So the core belief with people-pleasing is that keeping other people happy keeps the peace. Keeping other people happy keeps me likable. It almost helps you being able to predict other people, to to control or manage situations. So it's almost like you're walking 10 steps ahead or 2 steps ahead of this person. So you're like, okay, if I say this, they might say that, so I'm gonna do this instead. And so that centers the other people, other person, and it makes you smaller. It can look like adapting your personality, depending on who you're with, avoiding disagreements, even if it matters to you, saying yes when you mean to say no. How many people do that? I do sometimes. And it's people that struggle with people-pleasing often struggle with identifying with what they actually want. Like, you know that friend, like when you guys go out to eat, and they're like, I'll eat whatever you want, I'll go wherever you want. It's not that people often don't do this on purpose, but sometimes it's just harder to identify and to name what you actually want because you're so used to using this armor of people-pleasing. So the next one we're gonna go to is the controller. So the controller believes that if I stay in control, I won't get hurt. It can look like taking charge of situations and conversations, feeling uncomfortable when other people lead, almost like a trigger, you know? Trying to manage the outcome or people's behavior. And this person often struggles with like admitting their mistakes, they're making a mistake, correcting people really quickly, feeling anxious when things are uncertain. Like they hate unknowns, like they wanna know. You know, I wanna know, I wanna predict. And oftentimes that armor is meant to kind of protect your emotions sometimes. Sometimes it's like you can anticipate that you're gonna get anxious, you can anticipate you're gonna get angry. So you try to control to avoid feeling certain things. And that could be seen as an armor. So it also protects against chaos, vulnerability. And it's interesting because controllers, a lot of controllers are really smart. You know, they like to intellectualize. It's like, I know this. But there's like a disconnect between your feelings. You're like, I don't want to feel, so I'm going to lean into my intelligence. And the next one we're going to go to is a performer. So the performer is like this protection through image. Right? You really want to be seen as someone that is impressive, someone that is strong, and you don't want anyone to see your flaws. This person thrives in being not being seen. And obviously not being seen and like people can see you, but being seen in your vulnerability. It can look like maintaining a strong or put together persona, sharing your wins but hiding your struggles. And it's really this person that struggles with people seeing their weakness. And it's interesting because there's like this underlying fear oftentimes of being rejected for who you really are, being rejected for your weakness. And so you wear this armor of like, okay, well, I'm gonna perform. I'm gonna sing and dance and do what people want. I'm gonna make myself bigger. I'm gonna make my strengths bigger so no one can see my weaknesses. And then another armor we have is the fixer. So the fixer likes to solve things. The fixers actually sometimes are really good at fixing things. Like problem solving is their thing. But there's sometimes an underlying belief that if I fix this thing, I'll be needed. If I fix this thing, I will belong. And they're really good at identifying people's needs, which is not a bad thing. And to be honest, a lot of these things don't stem from bad things. They're not bad things, but they're ways that our brain is wired to protect us. The ways our brain is like, you know what? I want to be connected to other people, and if it means I need to sing and dance, I need to control, I need to fix situations, then so be it, I will do that. But like we saw with Derek, it can block authentic connection because people are not connecting with you, they're connecting with your defense mechanisms. So oftentimes a fixer is afraid of like not being necessary, abandonment. It's like people will have no use for me. And if I allow that to happen, I might get rejected. Then the last one is, oh, not the last one, we have two more. The next one is hyper-independent, definitely me. This person centers their independence and their strength because they have this underlying belief that if I need people, that's too risky. I can't risk that. And so they have this armor of competency, self-sufficiency, I can handle things alone, I don't need other people. I might not even need God sometimes. And it really, this person really minimizes their own struggle. And there's a lot of pride. There's a lot of pride in a lot of these, but we see the pride in hyper-independence. We even see pride in people-pleasing. There's this like over-dependence on myself, on knowing, whether it's people-pleasing, anticipating people's needs, or hyper-independence, where it's like, I'm good, I don't need anyone. Both are rooted in pride, but look very different. Then the last one is the avoider. So the avoider likes to center, the ability of being hurt. It's like, I do not want to be hurt by any means necessary. So if I distance myself, whether I'm distancing myself from other people, I'm distancing myself from conflict, I'm distancing myself from my own emotions, I will not get hurt. And so this often looks like withdrawing from conflict, emotional conversations, avoiding situations where there's tension. Like, most people do not like tension, right? And leaving relationships quietly instead of addressing problems, like ghosting people, cutting people off, all that. And so what we're gonna do is, what I want you guys all to do is, we're gonna go around the room. There's pens, there's post-it marker, there's post-it notes on some of your tables, markers, not pens. And what I want you to do is, I want you to comment on the ones that you relate to. You can be like, it's me. You can write down a word that stood out to you. You can put an emoji, whatever it might be. If you relate to all of them, comment on all of them. If it's only a few, comment on a few. But it's important for us to know what our armor is, because we can't dismantle something that we can't name. So I'll give you guys a few minutes to do that right now. Thank you. And if you have any questions, I'm available.
These can tie into one another, right?
100%.
Like, I have hyper independent tendencies because I'm a controller. Like, yeah. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And we could just comment anything.
Anything. Sad face. A just word.
Like feel
you say towards... that's me.
Okay.
Would you say that people pleasing and performer isn't kind of like the same thing?
It can be. Yeah, because people pleasing is a form of performance.
Yeah.
But then all of these can be a form of performance when you think about it.
Yeah,
you know.
Okay.
Yeah. No problem. If you don't want to write anything, you can just put. Pardon? Yeah, feel free to get up and write on the wall. If you don't want to write anything, there's post-it notes. You can just stick the post-it note on it. You don't need to use words. Whatever your preference is fine. When I'm speaking, can you take a picture or video
of
me?
Of course.
I'll just leave my phone with you.
Of course. I can happily do that.
Thank you.
I was like, you'll get professional photos from like them, but I will happily take
pull something now.
Today. I was like, I would take them on my phone, but it's recording. So all you're gonna hear in the recording is
oh, do you guys want to get up and get a marker? Or you're okay?
You're okay.
Okay.
Hi.
You participated. Okay, thanks. Hi. Oh, thank you. So as the last people just continue to write their notes, I'm going to just dive back in. So I want you to all ask yourselves right now. Now we know what you do, but I want you to ask yourself why you do it. Is your armor there, that is the armor that you have, is it fear-driven or is it love-driven? Because sometimes it can be driven by love. You know, when we think about people-pleasing. A lot of people that struggle with people-pleasing are very loving, right? They're able to anticipate people's needs. They know what people feel. They're probably empathic. And so your desire to make other people happy, is it based on a fear of disconnection, a fear of them not liking you, or is it driven by love? So just a question, just something for you guys to sit with. And so one of the things we start to notice is when we look at our armor, and when our armor is our main focus, when protection is our main focus, we center ourselves. We start building systems to protect our image, protect our comfort, our peace, our feelings, and sometimes we protect by disappearing. Sometimes we protect by being smaller. You know, if I'm smaller, if no one notices me, if I just less of me, like, but that disappearing is often rooted in something that is not centering God, right? It's rooted in other people loving you, other people liking you, rooted in your image, etc. But when we think about protection and we look at scripture, it tells a very different story, right? The Bible says, the Lord is our refuge and our shield. He covers us under his wings. His faithfulness protects us and defends us. He orders his angels to guard us, and he watches over our coming and our going. So the invitation is not for us to be our own protectors, but that we trust God enough to protect us. And it's interesting because it's very contrasting to our culture right now, where mental health is like, protect your peace. Mental health is like, hey, mental health, I would say, dialogue online is this idea that we are these fragile eggs. We need to do everything we can to protect ourselves. If we don't, we might be traumatized, we might enter toxic dynamics, but this idea to protect is just overstated in our culture. But we as believers, we need to recognize when the culture outside is contrasting from what scripture says. And so I'm not saying that go out in this world and go out and protect yourself. Do not protect yourselves, no. But recognizing what your armor is, what your go-to is, allows you to enter situations with curiosity and ask yourself questions like, am I overcorrecting right now? Am I centering my fragility? Am I centering this lie that I can't withstand disappointment, rejection, I can't withstand discomfort? Or am I centering God's ability to protect me, to defend me, and to be my shield? And so if we're gonna take our armor off, we need to recognize that our brain is not going to like it, okay? Because our brains are not proactive, they are reactive. So So I want everyone to say that with me. My brain is not proactive, it's reactive. And so when our brain has had, when we have had a certain experience, our brain creates a story, a belief. And so when we feel like something might happen again, the brain's like, no, 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 this looks familiar, this feels familiar, this smells familiar, don't do it because it's harmful. And now in this age of like social media where we are inundated with so much information, sometimes someone else is hurt that we have witnessed and we've watched, our friends or people that we don't know but we see, it might feel like our own pain. And so we start building these fortresses. We start building these towers of protection to protect us from something someone else went through. And so it's interesting because now if you want to step into that and give and risk that, whether it's risking a relationship, risking trying something new, stepping outside of your comfort zone, you are going to be working against your brain that's sending all the signals that are like, no, because your brain is wired to keep you safe. And that's a beautiful thing. But we have to be able to recognize when our brain is overcorrecting and when it's actually based and rooted in reality. So those are two different things. And so when avoidance becomes our default, it works against the very thing that God designed for us to do and how God has designed us to function in relationships. Because when we look at scripture, relationships are not built on distance, they're not built on protection, but they're actually built on reconciliation, community, and love. They're built on other things too, but those are the three things that I'm gonna focus on. So when we look at scripture, I'm gonna actually go to 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18. It says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to him and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So God didn't just reconcile us to him, he's also given us the ministry of reconciliation. So this doesn't mean get saved and avoid people. It means get saved and be a repairer. Like, I truly believe that we are called to be repairers, that we are called to repair what is broken. Not everything that is broken, but the spaces and the places that God has called us to repair. And so for me, reconciliation looks like moving towards instead of away, clarifying instead of assuming, repairing instead of replacing, but always using wisdom, right? We don't want to enter abusive and dangerous situations. We want to use wisdom when we are practicing reconciliation. And it goes against our culture. Our culture normalizes exit. Our culture normalizes ghosting people. It normalizes cutting people off, but it goes against God's call for us as reconcilers, okay? So number two is community. In Hebrews 10, verse 24, it says, stir up one another to love and do good works. There's so much scripture when it comes to community. Even when we see discipleship, when we see the early church, like so much of what they did was done in community, and so much of their spiritual formation was done in community. But community is not friendship. Those are two different things. When we think about friendship, friendship is chosen, your chosen family, people you click with, you connect with. It's very intentional. But community is often where God places us. The neighborhoods you live in, the schools you go in, your family, that's community. And so I truly believe that a lot of our spiritual formation happens in community because it's not always comfortable, right? You're going to be with people that you probably wouldn't have chosen, but God has placed you in those spaces. And so when we have armor in community, it's very hard for us to show up. It's very hard for God to sharpen us, to God to refine us, if we are not showing up in community, despite how uncomfortable that might be. And so when I think about community, even when I was thinking about today, the concept of parasocial relationships came to me. Does anyone know what parasocial relationships are? Anyone familiar with that word? Yeah. So they're like, it's basically a one-sided relationship where someone feels connected to someone who they don't know. Does anyone have parasocial relationships? I mean, I do. So it could be like a podcaster, influencer, YouTuber, a celebrity, an online pastor. It can feel like you know this person, you feel comforted by them, but the relationship is only flowing in one direction. And the reason why parasocial relationships are so common is because there's emotional support that comes with a parasocial relationship. It actually fills the need that we naturally have to be in relationship without the cost, right? And when we think about the cost is possible conflict, accountability, emotional exposure, repair after rupture, which those things are not necessary when you're in a parasocial relationship. Like, if you have a problem with a YouTuber, if you're brave, you're gonna comment under their photo, but that's all that you're really gonna do, you know? But when you are in conflict with someone in your young adult group, you're gonna have to do something about it, right? You can leave the youth group, the young adult group, or you can actually explore what would repair look like in this context. So the last one is love. We all know that love is necessary when it comes to relationships. And the scripture I want to highlight here is Philippians 2, 3 to 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of love of others. So I want to be clear, like, love is not constant validation, comfort at all costs, agreeing with everything that person is saying, but it is patient, kind, right? Not self-seeking, not easily offended. And so what I want you guys to do today right now, actually, is I want you to, let me see how much time we have. 15 minutes. Okay. So I want you guys to quickly talk in your groups about, out of those three attribute things that we talked about, reconciliation, community, and love, which one is the easiest for you to do and which one is the most challenging? And I just want to be clear, when it comes to reconciliation, reconciliation, of course, can include forgiveness, but reconciliation doesn't always include re-entering a relationship, and not everything is meant to be reconciled, but it doesn't mean we're not ministers of reconciliation. So it's a little bit of a tongue twister. So we might have conflict, but it might not be safe for me to reconcile with her, right? So we have to use wisdom when it comes to reconciliation, but to be reconciled with God, we do need to have forgiveness. We do need to forgive other people. We do need to ask God for forgiveness so that we can be reconciled to him. So if you have any questions, let me know. So we're going to talk about reconciliation, love, and community. What is harder and what is easier? And introduce yourselves to each other. Okay, thank you.
Oh. I got some photos and a couple videos.
Okay, thank you.
So I hope that's enough.
It'll be fine. Oh, this is falling again. So what do you guys do with the recording?
I think it gets shared so that if people want to, like, listen, like, if you didn't catch one of the other sessions, you can come and watch, like, listen to it back.
Okay.
Although I must say, I think that you missed some of the, like, the beginning when it was in your pocket.
Yeah, so maybe the first one.
I was like...
But it is the first one, right, that we...
Yeah. So okay. We recorded both sessions, so hopefully between the two, one is good enough.
This group was quieter.
It was quieter. I was like, come on, guys, get up.
That's interesting. Maybe they're more tired from going to the last workshop.
You never know. Maybe the itis from lunch is really setting in.
Yeah. Yeah.
Perhaps.
It's a quieter group.
It is. First one was definitely a little bit more rambunctious.
Yeah. I feel like that's a big age range.
Yes.
There are some people in their 30s.
Oh, 100%
here.
I think it also depends, I guess, on, like, the young adult group. I don't know if, like, some people are calling, like, as volunteers, like, their young adults ministry.
Yeah.
Because I know that was the case, like, for me. Mm. converting as adults, there's definitely like a big age range.
Yeah. What church do you go to?
The Bridge. So Paul.
In Markham?
In Markham.
Oh, nice. So Pastor Sam is there.
Smills, yes.
Yes, he used to be at our church.
Yes.
Oh, you know what church I go to?
Yeah. I heard you mention it.
Okay.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, I like this is great. I was like, he was with us, then he went to you, and then he came back.
Yeah.
So, which location were you? Was that the main?
Yeah, Asia. Yeah.
Like, do you live in Durham?
In Pickering, yeah.
Okay.
You live in Markham?
I'm like, it's pretty close. I can't.
That's good. I think it's important to go to church in your neighborhood.
Hey, you know, you're connected to the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Connected to the community.
Yeah, exactly.
There's so many advantages.
And then your fiancé, does he go there? Okay.
Yeah,
that's going to be like an easy transition.
Yes.
You guys don't have to be like, do you go to my church, your church,
exactly.
Is that a new church?
Yeah,
because like newlyweds struggle with that.
I'm grateful. We will not have that hurdle slash that struggle. We'll just stay where we're at.
Yeah.
We're both happy where we're at.
Yeah.
That is a pro.
That's good. I've been married for 13 years.
I was going to say, I was like, did you guys find a new church together? Or did you guys?
No, he wasn't really going to church. We dated for a long time. So I was going to a different church when we were dating.
Yeah.
And then, that's what happened. And then before we got engaged, we started going to another church together.
There you go.
Yeah, and then he like got baptized there and stuff. And then we got engaged. And then we went to that church. And then we went to Sanctus when we moved to Durham. 2017?
Okay.
You went to Sanctus?
Wow. Yeah. 10 years.
Yeah.
A good amount of time.
Oh, it is 10 years. Almost.
Yeah,
nine.
Almost 10 years, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Time flies.
Yeah, I've been married 14 years this year.
You got about 10 minutes left.
Yeah, I want to do the prayer. I feel like that was powerful.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah.
Hi.
Question about
sure.
The verse for reconciliation.
Yeah.
I missed it. What was it?
Oh, yeah, sure. 2 Corinthians. I think it's 2:18. Oh, 5:18.
2 Corinthians 5:18.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you.
No problem. Okay, so we are going to go into another interactive segment. What we're going to do is we are going to live out, practice right now, James 5:6, which says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. And so what we're going to confess is just these six things on the wall. Okay, don't confess anything else. Just let's stick it to this. So what I would love for you to do is, share what you're comfortable with. Don't go into too much depth. We don't want it to turn into a therapy session. But just if you can each just name one or two things that you struggled with, and then if you can choose someone at your table to pray through those things. And so, you can even start with, God, thank you for the way that you created our brain. And, we confess these things and just where the Lord leads. Pray into that, okay? Thank you. And if you have any questions or if no one wants to volunteer to pray at your table, I am available. Okay. Now I guess I'll walk around.
Play six.
You guys get over here. I feel so bad. You guys are so far. Okay. Yeah, we can hear. Okay. Sorry. Thank you.
sitting on a bench to help us bring it back out.
Oh, yes, that's true. I would love to take a selfie with people.
Yeah, okay. We can definitely do that.
I can take one if you want to, like,
or a group picture.
I can take one from the stage.
Okay.
People really have to switch it as much as possible.
Or I feel like I can even stand on this. Can we stand on the stage and just like?
You might not be able to get every. You might have to. You definitely have to go 0.5. Let's see.
But you can do 0.5.
Yeah.
I get everyone to come together.
Most, I mean, 0.5. You get like a good amount of people. So you just can't do 0.5 in the front. You have to do it old school style where you can't see yourself.
Oh man, my hair got so fuzzy. I'm sweating.
That's okay. Frizz is
And I'm doing braid outs now, but it's just not working.
I gave up on braid outs.
Oh really?
I always
do wash and goes, but
this is my go-to
dress. Okay, but it's the wash and go.
Yeah.
I feel like I have to cut it all the time.
I'm like literally. Every time I do, I'm like. I was like, when wash day comes, I'm like. Patience in detangling.
Yeah.
I don't want to shave my head.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I love my hair.
But why did you stop braid outs?
I feel like I just didn't like the look. And I was like, so then I was like, I don't know if it's like the way I'm doing it.
Or product.
It's not like maybe it's the product I haven't.
Because products weren't working. This product, I just started using Cream of Nature mousse, and all of a sudden this works for me. And I think I got into the sample.
I was like, maybe the mousse, because I'm like, maybe if I use like a thicker butter cream, it takes so long to dry. So maybe that's part of the reason.
But I blow dry my hair, and then I do a braid out.
And then I'm just like,
I know.
I was like, and I'm supposed to wash my hair every week and deep condition, and I'm like,
no, yeah, I know.
You need a lower routine.
Yeah. And I have 3 girls. But I have the most coarse hair. For some reason, they're like, yeah. So I'm like, okay, that's a good thing.
Well, good for mom.
For me. Yeah. That's a good thing for me. But
the best work for me to do.
And then obviously I can just braid their hair, leave it for 3 weeks. Like, that's good too.
That's what my mom used to do back in the day. But nobody's braiding my hair for me now. So. Yeah. I gotta do it myself.
But my older one, she was getting older. She's like, oh, my hair is like a kid's hair. And I'm like, well, you don't know how to do your hair. I can't do your hair every 3 days. Like,
Now is when you're like, okay, let's sit down. And instead of me just doing it, we're going to do it together.
She says no. She's like, no. No. I'm like, well, then braids. Braids. Sorry, kid.
You can't have it both
ways. Sorry, kid. And then I think I did a braid out, and she just wasn't wearing a hood. So then, you know, the mist in the air. I was like the anger bubbling in me. I'm like, God, give me patience. All that work.
You're like, do not explode. It's not my problem. Yeah. Right now, it's not my problem.
I'm like, if you can't, you're not old enough.
Yeah.
Okay, I see one group praying. Okay,
I don't know if you want to wrap
I think these two are praying, or three. I'll finish when they're done praying. We just do a group picture, right? A group picture. If anyone wants to do, okay, I'll do it. If anyone wants to come here,
and I'll take it on playback.
Yeah, I'm gonna wait till they finish praying.
Those two tables are the last two.
Oh, they're praying too. Oh,
yeah.
This is so cute.
They moved to their right now, so it's very sweet.
So I just think it's like when you see men like praying together. I think it's like it's always nice.
After this, you break anyway. So if it runs a little bit over, it's not a big deal. Because after this is main session, and everyone's just going to go back to wherever they were sitting before. So.
Okay. I'll just go. I know they're still praying.
Yeah.
Okay, so thank you all for coming. I'm so grateful to have you all here. And if you would like, if you are open to being in a picture, you can like gather around this area. If not, you're welcome to leave. So thank you.
Want to do the group photo?
Yes.
Thanks, guys. Feel free to shuffle in. We're just
Yes, everyone, come. No, right here.
I'm gonna be beside you.
Yes. I love seeing you guys pray. That was so nice. To see you guys pray, like to see men praying, that's really nice.
Very intimate community, you know?
Yeah.
What I mean?
You guys go to church together?
Yeah.
Oh, what church?
PBT, Pentecostal Tabernacle. In Brampton.
Oh, in Brampton. Okay. I'm in the East. I'm like, I don't know that church. Hi.
Hi. Thank you so much. That was amazing.
Thank you. Okay. Oh, yeah, actually, no, I'm going to stand.
Yeah.
I'm short, so I have to stand.
Awesome.
Thank you. Oh, okay, this is a good amount of people.
Yeah,
okay.
You can crop it in.
Do I look good though?
I'm sure you do. Beautifully and wonderfully.
I should take a selfie with some of you guys. Come. Okay. Wait. Nice.
Thank you.
So you guys all go to Pickering Pentecostal.
Peel Pentecostal, yeah.
Peel Pentecostal. Yeah, Peel. Oh, okay, nice.
Yeah, no. Are they gonna...
1 second.
Hi. Oh, thank you for coming. That's good.
This is amazing what this is going to be like.
Yeah.
I'm still thinking of friendships. I feel like I learned a lot about myself. Even, I don't know. I'm just talking about my group. Now I'm ranting about it all.
No, it's okay.
I was just talking about my group. Like, I'm...